coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in beautiful downtown Auburn, Maine. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, Lewiston Auburn's afternoon morning show with Mark and Pam. And where's Sarah?
She's having a better time than we are.
Is she really?
I don't know.
Well, she's on vacation.
Up for debate.
So she might be.
Maybe.
Yeah, Sarah's on vacation all week. We'll miss her, but she'll be back on next Monday.
Yeah.
We are covering news and events in the greater Lewiston Auburn area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Give us a listen at LydiaMediaLLC.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@LydiaMediaLLC.com.
Today's show is brought to you by UPI Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, serving residential and commercial customers with new installations and repairs. Call today and schedule your oil and gas boiler cleanings, 754-4556. UPI, the best plumbers around. And our newest sponsor, Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to weekend refreshments, don't botch it, squatch it. At 6 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupertsbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
If you would like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com. And Pam, the September issue of Uncle Andy's Digest, hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses. Actually, Penmore pulled through. They delivered on Friday last week, so we have them first thing this morning. So they're out for deliveries today.
There you go.
Be on the lookout.
That's right. It's like the first official day of September for a lot of people today, because we're all back at work, and it feels like it, right?
There goes summer.
So you'll get to check out the brand new September issue of the Digest this week. And we are joined in studio by the Public Theater's Executive Director, Ray Dumont.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning and afternoon. How are you?
And afternoon. Sorry.
That's totally fine. We do it all the time. It's morning for us, afternoon for the listeners.
It's early morning, just for the record.
How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. I've missed you guys.
We've missed you too. It's great to have you back in a different setting.
Yeah, this is great.
It is. It's pretty awesome.
Although you might be in trouble because I can talk more in this setting.
And you can swear too.
I'm not going to swear.
We're waiting. We're patiently waiting.
You would be our first guest to swear.
Oh, then I don't want to be the first.
Some people come in and they say, is it okay if we swear? And we say, absolutely. We'll censor it. We'll put a dog bark over it.
Yeah.
Whatever we need. And they never do.
Well, I can't.
Okay.
My mother might listen to this.
That's true.
She lives in Auburn. She's nearby.
Okay.
She'll know.
We'll take it easy on you.
My mom wouldn't be surprised.
She'd be like, that's my Pam.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the headlines for Tuesday, September the 3rd.
The Lewiston Police Department released its statistics for August. There were 4,203 calls for service, 116 motor vehicle accidents, 606 traffic stops, 87 citations, and 5 confirmed shots fired incidents.
The Auburn Police Department announced that Sergeant Matthew Daly was promoted to the rank of lieutenant and Officer Travis Barneys was promoted to the rank of sergeant.
Residents and veterans gathered at Veterans Memorial Park in Lewiston to celebrate the restoration efforts. A flood from the Androscoggin River caused significant damage to the park in December of last year.
And Dr. Elizabeth Balsam Hart of Andwell Health Partners was named one of the most influential leaders in hospice and palliative care by the American Academy of Hospice and Palliative Medicine. The program recognizes extraordinary individuals who continue to enhance the delivery of care for seriously ill patients and have brought true innovation to the field.
Looks like a stretch of great weather for this week. Blue skies and sunshine for today, tomorrow, and Thursday with highs in the 70s.
We'll take it.
Sounds like good golfing weather.
Yeah. Getting cold in the morning, though. Isn't it?
It's chilly. I wore a jacket today.
Yeah, I warmed up the car for my wife today.
Yeah, I just switched.
It's September.
Nice.
Switched from AC to the heat this
morning.
Yeah,
for sure. Put heat on.
Yep.
Yeah. Do that or don't see out the window.
In sports, the Red Sox lost to the New York Mets 4-1. They'll play again tonight at 7 in New York.
The Sea Dogs road trip continues as they open a 6-game series against the New Hampshire Fisher Cats tonight at 6:30. Meow.
Yeah, there you go. Sarah's going to be so proud of you. Oh, my goodness.
Wow, I'm so inspired. I can't tell you.
Oh, my goodness. We need a minute.
I couldn't let her down.
Oh, I'm going to send her that snippet.
It's on my list of things I wasn't expecting today.
Yeah. It was a list.
I got a list. Yeah.
And everything has to do with this show.
It is, oddly, does seem to be the center point.
Now, I am not sure if this qualifies as a sport or not. Maybe we can decide as a trio. But in yesterday's unfinished beef Labor Day showdown, 40-year-old Joey Chestnut broke his own record by eating 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
No.
Chestnut broke his previous record of 76 and won the grand prize of $100,000. His opponent, Takeru Kobayashi, downed 67 hot dogs in the loss. So it was just those two guys, the legends of competitive eating. And it was live on Netflix.
I saw the previews. And I will say, $100,000 is not nearly enough money for me to try to down 83 right. hot dogs.
The cost of gastric bypass. You know, I mean, goodness. Tums.
I don't understand that quote unquote sport.
I wouldn't call, I mean, yay them. I certainly wouldn't try. You have to be good at something, I guess. You know, it's good to have a hobby, but I don't know that. Even I'm not a sports person. That's not a sport. Although there were other things I thought weren't sports, and they were. Thing with the brooms on the ice.
Oh, the curling.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a sport.
They have poker on ESPN. They have people playing poker.
I have a dear friend who's married to a professional poker player. Oof. And he's one of the big ones. Yeah.
Does he consider it a sport? Do you know?
No, he considers it his job.
Yeah.
That's what's paying for his house and his kid. And, well, there you go. But I don't think he'd call it a sport.
I would say that's a high-stress job.
Gambling?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even scratching lottery tickets make me nervous, you know? Oh, did I just blow $2? Oh.
So I think we all agree that competitive eating is not a sport.
Not a sport. All right.
But it is disgusting.
It's really disgusting.
I can't watch it.
Me neither.
I can't.
That part in the movie Stand By Me.
When yeah, with the pie?
Yes.
The blueberry pie.
Yes.
Yeah, it's stuck with me.
I can't. Watch that part of the movie because anyway.
It's funny and horrible all at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now it is time for the podcast segment that is sweeping the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's famous people birthdays. It's famous people birthdays.
And we're going to start off with singer Jennifer Page, who is 51 years old today. Her big hit, Crush, came out in 1998. Does anybody know that one?
No.
Nope.
It's just a little crush.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, now I know it.
But please don't make me sing anymore.
Sarah would have hummed it.
She would have. She would have sang the whole thing.
And she would have, like, bopped in her chair.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Actor Valerie Perrine is 81 today.
I know who that is.
Yes. Who is it?
She was in Superman.
She sure was.
Yeah, she was Miss Tessmacher.
That's right.
Eve Tessmacher.
Yes.
Wow.
Look at Ray.
Look at my tattoo. I mean,
okay. I'm like, that's impressive. I can't remember.
I have a head like for that. Useless information. Well, I'm the one they call when they're doing a crossword puzzle or something.
You're a perfect fit for this show.
I'm phone a friend. Yeah, but stupid trivia.
Yeah.
Geek trivia.
Valerie is 81 years old today.
God, love her.
She also played Honey Bruce. Did you know that? In 1974 in the film Lenny. She played Lenny Bruce's girlfriend.
Bob Fosse directed that.
There you go.
Do you know who played Lenny Bruce?
Dustin Hoffman.
Very good. He does that great speech, Don't Take Away My Words.
That's right.
In the courthouse. Oh, that's so right. Good.
Singer, guitarist, and co-founder of the Beach Boys, Al Jardine, is 82 years old today. And headlining our FPBs for September the 3rd is Carlos Irwin Estevez.
Better known as?
Charlie Sheen.
Thank you. Estevez.
Okay. That's right.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. Still need more coffee. He's still around, huh?
He is still around. He's
still
full of tiger's blood and just doing his thing.
He used to be so great.
I loved Two and a Half Men.
And I'm sure
he was so sad. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't great behind
the
scenes.
Yeah, it was a bad time.
Yeah.
But things got really odd.
Things were easier back in the 80s when he was in Red Dawn. And Platoon, and Wall Street.
Major League.
And Eight Men Out and Major League. He was so good in Major League.
Wild Thing.
Young Guns.
Yeah.
The Rookie. He has done it all.
He that was a good actor, but, you know.
Yeah, just things went off the rails.
Yeah, things went off the rails rather quickly.
And, you know, social media didn't help.
No.
And neither did the press, you know.
We are joined in studio by the Public Theater's executive director, Ray Dumont, and you have a big weekend coming up.
We do. We do. We Well, we have a dog.
We do. That's Lydia. She runs the place.
Hey, Lydia.
That's
sweet
not
baby.
The first time she's barked on air.
So. No, but we do have quite a weekend coming, and it was a long time coming. Everyone knows who Julia Gagnon is in the state of Maine, and we're very proud of her. She was number 5, I believe, in the runners-up of American Idol. And she's been appearing all over the place. Little did we know she'd appear literally all over the place. But she's going to appear with us on Saturday. It's a one show only. I know some people were concerned about, aren't you worried about the market getting saturated with a lot of Julia? And I said, she's one of those people that people want to see more than once. And we have something that not everybody can offer. We have a small, intimate, indoor space that it's not seeing her in a tent. It's not seeing her in these big venues, you know. It's just her and her fiance, Nate, doing a really beautiful acoustic concert. And we're really excited. It's like a 90-minute show. It starts at 7. It's 7 on the 7th. I did that so I could remember it pretty much. Our shows are usually at 7:30 on Saturday. I'm like, this one's at 7, guys. That's how it's going to go. A little intermission. You know, the concessions will be open. We'll sell beer and wine. It's just going to be a really great evening. We're really excited. We're at about 75% sold. Great. Which is really good for, you know, this time of year. And we hope that like those last minute people will come in. We'd love to get a full house for
sure.
It. Yeah. People have a taste for seeing music. We experimented this summer with Johnny Cash, with Scott Moreau, who was fantastic. And it's sold out. And people kept coming up to me in the lobby saying, we want more of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We love what you do, but do this too. And we have a stage. We might as well put something on it.
I'm excited. I have tickets. I was at the Johnny Cash show.
When we started promoting it.
Yes. That was the first night. It had just been released that you were getting Julia.
Yeah.
And I went at intermission.
We went right to the box
tickets.
Office. Yep. I was very proud of you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah,
my goal.
I love it when people do what I want them to do. It's great. Though I think, and you know, we're hoping there'll be more of it. Plus we have our amazing season. So like it's... Like one of my colleagues in the office says, if we're a theater, if we're not producing something all the time, then what are we doing? You know, so yes, it's nice to get the sponsors and the things and that and the donors. And yes, they are truly treasures for us. But content really is what we should be doing, is producing live entertainment, whether it's our theater season, which is, you know, it's our 34th season, which is amazing. Right here in Lewiston, Auburn, it's been here for 34 years. That's incredible. Mm. But we want to even bring more things to bring more different people into our building. Because as I've said so many times on your show, it just blows my mind that people have never been there.
Right.
And when they walk in, they're like, what a great space. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. That's great.
You're telling me.
Come on back. Yeah. And I've said from the stage before, I really believe if somebody comes once, they're going to come twice. You know, they're going to see something else that we're doing.
Like
so.
My mom. I brought my mom to see Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I never knew this place existed.
Exactly.
And then we heard about the Dracula show.
Oh, it's going to be
up,
so much
and
fun.
And so I'm bringing her to that as well. But she got her picture taken with Scott as Johnny Cash. I bought her the CD. And then I brought her home, and my father didn't hear the end of it
weekend. That's great. So, Scott will appreciate that.
Every time I go visit, she shows me, she does these diamond dot art pieces.
Oh,
she has
wow.
her whole desk set up, and that's her hobby. And she has her boombox right on top of her desk, and the Scott Moreau Johnny Cash CD is right there. And she listens to it all the time.
I love that, but Scott will love it even more. That matters, you know, just that you've had an impact. You know, that your audience responded in some way that is meaningful. That's incredible.
I love it. Such a great time. And yeah, we'll definitely be there for the Dracula show. And the Julia show, yeah, she's been around Maine, but not for 90 minutes.
No, it's definitely the full concert that she does. And she's going to do 2 sets. She's truly one of the kindest people. And I think it comes across when she comes out on stage. And I think that's going to be, you know, the fact that our space is small is that everybody's going to have the one-to-one connection with her like you want with an artist, you know. And I'm sorry, but this is literally, and I don't usually get like this, but this is an opportunity to see somebody who's going to bust at some point. She's going to go crazy and go right out into the stratosphere. And we get to see her live. We get to know her as a person, not as a star. And I think that's a heck of an opportunity. And we still have tickets. So get tickets.
Where do folks get the tickets?
Right at our website, www.thepublictheater.org. If you do publictheater.org, you're going to get the esteemed Public Theater in New York City, and they don't have Julia.
Did you check? So
I was a little worried. So it's thepublictheater.org, and it's very easy to get tickets, and we still have some great seats available. So, yeah, it's going to be a great night. We're really looking forward to it. We've never done anything at this time of year like this. And then we literally start to dive into our regularly scheduled programming. We have the Manhattan Short Film Festival at the end of September, and then it goes right into our season a few weeks later.
So let's talk a little bit about that film festival, the 27th annual Manhattan Short.
Yeah, this is brand new for me. This was the brainchild of one of our founders, one of our founding board members. And it's just an opportunity to do something really different. And I've never experienced it before. So, you know, I've gone to film festivals, but not that like this particular genre of short films. And I didn't realize what a curated genre it is. It's a very important genre within the film industry. It's where a lot of filmmakers get their start. And people get to see things that other people have never even seen before. And it's right here. You don't have to go to Sundance. You don't have to go. It's right here. And it's really fun. I'm excited about it. You know, I'm the new guy, you know, I've only been there 8 months. And I was like, so do I come to this? They're like, yeah,
do you need
you should
me?
Be there. You should be there. And so I'll get to meet the audience and, you know, hopefully make some connections and bring them into our season that way. But I think it's a nice gateway to the season, you know, and it gives us a chance to have, again, activity in the building outside of what we do so well.
Yeah, and that's
exciting.
Another audience.
Yeah, it's a whole other audience, you know, and we're very excited about that. We're hoping we're actually doing you can tell the season's getting ready. In a couple weeks, we're doing usher training and our volunteer training, and we're still looking for more volunteers. So, you know, you can go to our info@thepublictheater.org email if you say, I want to volunteer. We'd love to have new people ushering and helping us out at our show times. And it's an opportunity to see the show.
Yeah. Everybody wins.
Yeah. And it's truly one of the most important parts of our customer service is the experience starts when you park the car and you come in the door. And if somebody's not there to make you feel welcome, your experience is starting to be ratcheted down, and we want it to be great. We pride ourselves on that. You know, when you call the public, you almost always get a human being who will help you.
Let's talk about the 2024-25 season, starting with Dracula, a comedy of terrors.
I'm so excited about this. It's a big swing for us. It's a lot of special effects, you know, doors flying open, bats flying, some other crazy special effects. We have a dear friend of mine come up. He just finished at Main State Music Theater, and he's working with us for 2 weeks before he heads to his next job. I literally wedged in 2 weeks of work. I'm like, can I have you for 2 weeks? He's building all the specialty props for our show, and it scared the daylights out of me the other day. There's these two dummies, and he left them in the lobby. And when you walk in at non-business hours, the lobby is dark. And these two dummies scared the living daylight. And I think he's doing it on purpose because they keep moving now. I think he's doing it on purpose. But it's just a show it's Dracula. It's something you know, but it's turned on its ear and it's funny. But it's done smartly. It's smart funny. I mean, yes, there's some slapstick kind of Monty Python feel to some of it. But it's, you know, it's a known quantity in a different setting. And I think that's going to be fun. And we're seeing an uptick of sales on that particular show.
Cool.
Which is good because it's a 3 week run instead of two. So we have an extra weekend to sell. That's
nice. I think you have a really cool sponsor for that show too, right?
Yes. Yes, we do. Oh my God, you're right here. Oh
wait, it's us?
Yeah, we love having Lydia Media or, you know, in the magazine with us. That's such a good crossover for us. And, you know, the magazine is so beautiful and it's just nice to be part of that. And to have them be part of us is a big deal for us.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, it's a big thing. It's a big thing, you know, and those connections are half of what I've been doing for the last 8 months is getting to know the people in our community. Everybody seems to know my last name. They either know the cop or they know my grandfather's dairy where they had their first date with their spouse. And I mean, seriously, my last name has had a little bit of cash to it. But by and large, it's just nice to get to know people. I go to everything.
He does. He's everywhere. The
networking events and everything. And I've had some great success in strange places, you know. I actually found a sponsor for Dracula out of this that never would have happened. And I had a crazy idea and the guy liked it and we did it. And something, cool. You know, we can announce that when we get to it. Nice. So that's going to be fun.
And then we move into December with the Christmas Carol.
Yeah, Christmas Carol is a tradition. It's a 6-person version of the show. It was actually an adaptation written by my predecessor, Christopher Shario. It's a published work. So you actually contact a licensing house to get the rights. I don't just call Christopher and say, hey, we want to do Christmas Carol. What's very sweet and wonderful is that he's also directing it. So he gets to be part of our season, you know, in his retirement. I think that's a really nice thing. And the show is like an hour long. It's an in and out kind of thing. Yes. And so we really only have a weekend of public performances. During the week, though, we have student matinees. Oh, cool. And busload after busload after busload of kids come to see it, which is great. And we do it at a very, very, very minimal rate so that anybody who wants to come can come.
That's nice.
And that's half the battle, is getting young people to come to the theater and develop the habit of considering that as entertainment, you know? So we're excited about that. And, you know, we usually do something in November. We usually book something in for the weekend and we're kind of all like, well, Dracula's running the extra week. We're good.
We'll be okay.
You know, and it's getting a little late to publicize something now. I think in future we'll probably see something in that November, like that sweet spot of middle November, pre-Thanksgiving, of some other entertainment. But there just wasn't anything that jumped up. And I said, well, we all got to breathe.
Need the downtime.
Yeah. And, you know, as we move into January, Every Brilliant Thing is really the one I think I'm most excited about. It's a short play. It's one person. Some of the audience actually gets to sit on stage as like part of these risers near the actor. Part of the show is improvisation. The conceit of the show, the focus of the show is a small child. It's a true story. It's a small child couldn't understand his mother's depression. She suffered from severe depression, and his daddy kept saying, you know, mommy has a hard time being happy. And it was originally a man who played the role. And this child, a small child, through their lens, tried to figure out how to make their mother happy.
Aww.
And, you know, it's like with things that make you happy, like summer rain, ice cream, you know, all these things. And the audience gets to offer up things on note cards, the items that make them happy. And the actor has to play with that. It was originally done by a male performer. We have a female performer who's done it before. And we're excited to have her come do it with us. And I think we're bringing her original director with her so that it can all be reconstructed for us. I'm actually looking for partners in mental health organizations, you know, who want to either sponsor us, or we can do some crossover work together. I'm really excited about it because it's something very different than we've done. And we're actually going to take a row of seats offline partway up the theater so the actor can navigate through the house. It's completely different for us.
Cool.
And I think that's what's exciting about it.
Yeah.
When Janet, our artistic director, I don't know how she finds these. She finds really great plays. And it's very always contemporary playwrights, new playwrights. Playwrights will have something to say about who we all are. And I think this play really, the minute she offered it up as an option, I was like, oh, we have to do that. We have to do it. And I've noticed as I met with some sponsors, they were like, oh, I want to sponsor that one because they see the value there, you know, which is great. And then we move into halfway there in March, which is actually the same playwright as Norm Foster, who did Lunenburg this past year. And we had one sponsor who said, give me the Norm Foster play, because she loves Norm Foster. And he's a famous, famous, famous Canadian playwright. He's a bit like, they have a Norm Foster festival in Canada. He writes women brilliantly. He writes people brilliantly, but he writes women brilliantly. Just something in the rhythms, like his words are very musical. He gets people. He gets right to the core in very few words. It's really interesting. And then the last one, Now and Then in May, is it's a story that's been told, but not quite like this. It's like, what are the repercussions of the decisions you make as a young person? And how do you when they come, when it comes due, when the payment comes due, how do you deal with it? Reading it was, it was a good read. So I always say, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. I didn't make that up. That's other people say it too, but it's true. It's got to be a good read. Yeah. And all four of these plays were really good reads. Dracula was a laugh out loud read. I was blessed to see it off Broadway, and it is ridiculous.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's going to be so good.
All of these sound
amazing. So it's all different, you know, and yeah. I think that's important, because as a person who's a subscriber, we have to try. You're never going to please everybody all the time. You know, we try to please everyone, and our subscribers are somebody that we hold very dear. You know how you know you're a success in the theater is when people subscribe or buy a ticket to the public because it's the public, not because of what we're doing. They say, I may not like the play, but I'm going to like what they do.
Right.
And we value that. So when we get to that place, I'll feel like I've succeeded. You know, when the people are coming, buying tickets to the public, not necessarily but the play. That would be an amazing thing for us.
I don't think we'll call Now and Then the season finale, because we don't know what you're going to come up with next, right?
Yeah, you know, we have this amazing season from like October to May, and we do a lot in it. We have a children's program. The Marionettes are coming back this year, which is going to be insanely wonderful. It's a dragon story, which is going to be so cool. I'm very excited about it. The minute I signed the contract, I was like, yes, the kids are going to love it. I'm going to love it, which is very important to me. But yeah, our stage has been really quiet in the summertime. And I think there's a market for us being live and in person in the summer as well. And, you know, it's all about producing content and bringing people into the building that may not have been there before. And that means looking at different avenues. So I'm looking at, there's one thing I can't talk about right now, but if it happens, it's going to be very, very exciting for us.
Nice.
So I'm
like
working
those.
On it. I'm working on it as we speak.
Excellent. The Public Theater is located at 31 Maple Street in Lewiston and was named the best theater in Maine 7 times by the Reader's Choice poll in Down East magazine. We're going for 8.
We actually were waiting to hear this year's results. I think it's any time now.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Well, we might have a news bulletin to post.
Yeah.
Come through,
definitely.
LA. Come through.
Let's do it.
Come on, LA.
Ray, is there anything else about the public that you would like our listeners to know before we play a little game?
What I was saying, you know, we're always looking for volunteers. We're looking for people to help people to their seats and just be kind to them when they come and give them direction and help them out. And, you know, I'm just really proud of our team. We're a very small team, so I want to give them a shout out. We're only a staff of 5, and we do some of them are wearing many, many hats, which I'm trying in my new position to alleviate over time, but you can only do so much. Mm-hmm. So it's baby steps, but they are truly the most congenial, hardworking people, and they make it a real joy to get up and go to work every day.
Before we let you go, we do have a little game that we like to play called 3 Random Questions. Because pretty much everything we've talked about so far outside of Joey Chestnut has been about your profession at the Public Theater.
Yes.
And with 3 random questions, we like to get to know you a little bit outside of the professional setting.
All right.
Unfortunately, you can't win anything, but you could lose your dignity.
Oh, okay.
You cool with that?
Yeah, that ship already left the dock.
So this will
be good.
Easy.
We're good. Yeah. Hit me.
All righty. Question number 1 for Ray Dumont, Executive Director for the Public Theater. What do you prioritize more, your relationship or your career?
My relationship. I've been blessed to have some amazing relationships in my life. And even when a one that lasted many, many, like almost 2 decades ended, it ended well because we were adults and everybody was good about it. You know, I thought that only happened once in your life. Well, guess what? It happened again. So of course I'm prioritizing that. All and, you know, it's the whole, I hate to use the expression because it's so overused, but it's the ride or die thing. I've got somebody in my life now that supports me 1,000% and I support them 1,000%. I was supposed to move to Colorado and he was going to move with me.
Wow.
Where you go, I go. And I was like, wow. You know, I think he breathed a sigh of relief when I didn't move to Colorado.
You're like, psych.
Yes. Oh, thank God. So you're done with that now? But yeah, definitely relationship. You know, I can work anywhere. I mean, I don't want to just work anywhere. I want to work in a place that I love. And my industry matters a great deal to me. That, too, is a relationship that I've had a love-hate relationship with. Because sometimes you hate the arts industry. When you're an actor and you're not getting work, you start to hate it a little bit.
Right.
But my relationships are the things that, like, I have an amazing relationship with my family, and I'm so lucky to have that. Not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, I didn't really know that until I got older and realized that not everybody has the family I have. And I'm so blessed. Yeah. And they're all here. I can work anywhere. I can't have my support system just anywhere.
Right.
And so that takes priority.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
That was a long answer.
It was a good one.
Thank God it's a podcast.
We're not cutting any of that. Okay. That was gold.
And then someone will play it back and be like, remember when you said that?
Remember when you said that?
It's me you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the most absurd thing you've been tricked into doing or believing?
Oh, God. Most tricked into doing or believing?
I can think of something right off the top of my head. I'll let you think for a minute.
Go.
I was young. I don't remember how old I was. My brother and I went grocery shopping with my mom. And for some reason, I think she was cashing out. So we went to sit on this bench just outside where the cash registers were. And my brother's sitting next to me and he's like, close your eyes and open your mouth. I'm like four, probably. I don't know. I was young. He was my brother, right? I trust him. He put dry dog food in my mouth. I don't know where he got it or how, but yeah.
Oh, you know? Wow.
Yeah. So there's my trust issues right there.
Yeah. Now, my brother closest in age to me, he's 5 years older than me. He's about 10 times smarter than me too. Always has been. And that's okay. Because that's okay. That's who he is. When we were younger, we went to St. Joseph's School, which is really not St. Joseph's School anymore. And so we went to school with the nuns. Lucky us. And they wore those. They didn't wear the big, like the things that only their face stuck out of. They had just the basic veils. And my brother told me, I wonder if he remembers he did this. He told me that they have to shave their whole head except for their bangs, because their bangs stick out of the veil. And I don't know why we were doing this, but our eighth grade girls had a basketball game against the nuns. The nuns, they kept their like black dresses on, but they put on their nuns with Nikes, I guess. And one of the nuns, her name was Sister Karina. I remember this because she was a terrible person. but she got her veil knocked off in the scuffle, and she had a full head of hair. And I was, I was stunned. And I'm looking for him in the bleachers, you know, with his class. Like, you lied to me. Yeah. Why are they? I doubt they'd all be all bald back there. But
you must have. Yeah. You must have envisioned them with their veils off.
I found it funny. You know, like a badly shaved dog, you know. But yeah. He duped me into that one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
All right, Ray. Final question. What was your most embarrassing moment in the workplace?
In theater, that has to be.
Oh.
I mean, there must be. I would have a list.
Yeah. All right.
It looks like he's trying to sort through seven different things right now.
Which one do I tell?
There's a lot. I don't know if you know Maine State Music Theater, the Pickard Theater. Back when they redesigned it, they on one side, they put this spiral staircase. It's a metal spiral staircase that goes from the basement floor up to the deck, stage right deck. And as managing director back in the early 2000s, I used to do the curtain speech every day. And I'd welcome the audience, thank the sponsors. And I would my high school English teacher was in the third row one day. And I was literally saying, hi, I'm Ray Dumont, managing director. And I hear, I love him. And I was like, oh, hi, Mrs. Shapiro. It's nice to see you, you know. She was one of the reasons I got interested in theater anyway. So it was nice. But one day I was goofing around and I was like, I was talking to somebody in company management down at the lower floor, you know, the dressing rooms. And I lost track of time. All of a sudden, a stage manager comes down and she goes, hey, stage right is wondering where you are. We're ready to start the show. And I look and it's 2:05. The matinee starts at 2. And so I booked it up the spiral staircase, which made me dizzy and out of breath. And because I went really fast and I got to stage right. And instead of saying, so sorry to keep you waiting and everything, she goes, go. And she pushes me and I walked out on stage And I was like, good afternoon, everybody. And I was out of breath. And it was so embarrassing. And I literally put my hands down on my legs. And I bowed my head. And I kind of gave the 1 second. I just need a minute. And I said, all right, full disclosure. I was being irresponsible and I lost track of time and I just had to run up a flight of stairs. So can you give me a second? Like, I literally had to do that because I looked like a moron. And that was just, yeah, that was just me as me. As an actor, I got caught in my words once, and it was a show called George M, about George M. Cohan. And his father was like kind of like a tiger dad, and he make him go out on stage and do the shows and everything. And I'm talking to the woman who's playing my wife on stage. And I say, when I was a kid, my dad shoved a violin in my hand and pushed me out on stage. And I don't know what came over me. I said, when I was a kid, my dad took a violin and shoved it up. And I went, I stopped myself. But the woman playing my wife was done. She wouldn't look at me. She walked away from me, and I had to keep talking, and I was getting sweaty, and I, you know, when you get nervous, you start to flop sweat, and like they had makeup in my hair because they wanted to make me look older, and I had hair then, and it was, I could tell it was bleeding down my face, and it was just horrible. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Those were good days. Good days.
Ray, come back every day.
Yeah, sure.
It's Ray Dumont, Executive Director for the Public Theater. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
today.
Having me this morning. Yeah.
This is so fun. Much fun.
Yeah.
The Public Theater is located at 31 Maple Street in Lewiston. You can find them online at thepublictheater.org. And don't forget, American Idol finalist Julia Gagnon performing on Saturday. And there are a few tickets left. Get yours online, or you can call the box office at 782-3200. Have yourselves a great Tuesday. We'll catch you tomorrow.
I will say, $100,000 is not nearly enough money for me to try to down 83 hot dogs.
The cost of gastric bypass. You know, I mean,